I was alone for that 1 week, like 3 years ago. And I was like, it was amazing. It was very strange.
Wow. I don't know how I would take to that. That you're right. Oh my goodness. Okay. Well, before you keep blowing my mind.
In a world where you only have trailers and posters to judge a movie, Jim and Ted strike out to answer the age-old question, will you see it?
Hello, Ted, coming to you from the world headquarters of Trailer Junkies Podcast. It is episode 107.
That's right, 107.
I feel back in my element. I'm not in front of you now, and I don't feel so intimidated.
You're only intimidated because you're so far away from the mic, and I'm so close to the mic, and yet you're still 10 times as loud as I am.
Yeah, I'm booming. So, but yeah, I think we'll have better sound this week. But yeah, it was fun being with you for a couple episodes there.
Yeah, definitely.
So, okay, you're taunting me. I see you waving a bottle back and forth and back and forth. So what are you drinking? It looks like it has a cork.
It is a big, big ass bottle. So we went to see Suresh and Aisha over last weekend.
Okay.
In Escondido. And there's this awesome liquor store out there called Holiday Liquor. Yeah. And we went in there for some wine for dinner. And while we were there, they're like, oh, you should check out our beer cave.
And you couldn't help yourself.
I couldn't help myself. I went back
as you want to do.
Yes, I went back in the beer cave and I saw some of these prices, and I was floored.
So expensive.
No, the opposite.
Oh, awesome!
So I got this awesome.
You stock up, or you just buy one?
I just bought one because we're back there. We go there all the time.
Oh, okay.
So I got a Saison Ale with Brettonomics. I don't know what that is, but it's Lost Abbey. Have you heard of Lost Abbey?
I have heard of Lost Abbey, yes.
Yeah. And this was like $7.
Awesome.
$7 for this big bottle. I don't think it's very high ABV, but it's, you know, a Carnival.
It's probably 5-6 at a minimum.
No, it's 8, so that's decent, but you know.
Oh, 8's high. Yeah.
8, and it's a huge guy, so I'll crack this. Uncage it here.
Come on, I want to hear the pop.
All right, let's see the pop.
Let's go. Nice. All right. So while you're pouring that, you have a nice the Carmelite triple glass. When you hear coffee in beer, what's your first thought?
Stout.
Stout, okay. What color are you thinking?
Like a dark, like a chocolate.
Okay. And what texture would you anticipate or would you expect?
I expect it to be very smooth.
I would almost say creamy.
Yeah, exactly.
Like frothy, right?
Yes, yes.
So I have a Figueroa Mountain Brewing Company. They're here local.
Uh-huh.
And this is a golden coffee ale, zero to sexy. And it's a 6.8. It's a 12-ounce can. I bought a six-pack of it.
Nice.
But golden... what did I say it was? It's golden to... No, not golden to sexy. Golden coffee ale.
Zero to sexy.
It's hard to say zero to sexy, but it looks like just a regular everyday pale ale.
Yeah, look at that.
Yeah, completely not what one would anticipate.
Now, what kind of glass is that? That's not a tulip. That's like...
You know, that's a good question. It is for Affligem... Triple?
Yeah, it looks like a triple. It looks like Chimay kind of glass.
Yeah, I would say more like it's like a half between a goblet and a tulip.
Okay.
It's a gulip.
Yeah. How's that?
Yeah, it's like completely unbelievably awesome. Some of the best coffee beer I've ever had, and it's nothing like a stout.
And just visually, it doesn't look like it should taste like coffee.
You would never anticipate coffee, and right. It is one of the best beers. Well, I mean, not say best beers. One of the best coffee beers I've ever had. It is like...
Is the aroma coffee?
A little bit.
Oh, okay.
A little bit. The aroma is very mild, but it's heavy on the palate coffee.
That's cool. That's interesting.
I'll have to, if I see another six pack, I'll have to get it and set it aside or something so you can try it out. It's very good.
That's right.
So how's your Belgian there?
So I love this. This Carnaval Saison.
Carnaval.
I'm becoming quite the Saison fan.
Yeah, I bought a four pack of some farmhouse Belgian Saison today too, which I really enjoy.
It says, for centuries, Venetians lightened the dark of winter with this elaborate unending of social order. What? And donning a disguise.
Wait, are you a part of the new social order?
I guess so.
Okay.
I think it's Illuminati or something.
Oh boy.
And donning a disguise for Carnival, for one night, a pauper could become a prince, an alerted man a fool, a proper lady a passionate lover, and no one would be the wiser.
For one night anyway, until you woke up, and the more you drank, the more prince-like you became.
Or pauper like, you know.
Yeah, whatever.
Well, that kind of the Carnival kind of goes in line with what I was doing this week. So
yeah, nice segue. What were you doing this week?
So this week was Fat Tuesday.
Oh yeah.
And looked up some great jambalaya recipe. So we had instant pot jambalaya.
Oh, you have an instant pot?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, we do too. We love the thing.
Yeah.
So have you ever been to New Orleans and Fat Tuesday? And
we have not done that.
No, you never have, huh?
No. You? Were you there for Mardi Gras?
3 years ago, maybe? I'll have to say, it was like, if you look at a bar,
yeah,
and you're at the back wall of said bar,
yeah,
you work your way through the bar, out through the street, and out and back all the way to the back of the other bar.
Yeah.
It's wall-to-wall people.
Wow.
It is horrible. I mean... I have pictures of Mardi Gras where it's like I just raised the camera to take a picture down the street and it's a sea of just heads.
Yeah.
It is unreal. Yeah, I did it once. I don't think I would ever do it again.
And I remember when that was kind of intriguing to me or interesting to me, and now I'm just it's so cumbersome.
Here's what's so amazing of it though, right?
Uh-huh.
So Mardi Gras, well, at midnight, I mean on the second they clear the street.
Really?
So, I mean, it is not 1 second after midnight that people are out there. So what they do is the horses, like the mounted police, play a huge role.
Mm-hmm.
They're just keeping the peace. And let's face it, it's a complete and utter mess as far as like trash and litter.
Yeah.
Boobs all over and, you know, like
boobs and beads.
Yeah, all the stuff you hear. I mean, that's really true. The one thing I would say about it, though, is it's very peaceful and quite calm, actually. But come midnight, they kick everybody off the street. Everybody has to disperse. So I go back to the hotel, like it was right around then. And, mm-hmm. you know, because I didn't want to hang around. I was there for a work convention.
Okay.
That was the main, that was the impetus of my being there. But we happened to get there like the day prior. And so we got to spend time there. So the next morning, I'm like, you know what? I have to see what it looks like in the morning. So I'm up and out on the street with my camera at like 6 a.m.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, man, it's like it never happened.
Wow.
Completely empty. So clean. All the trash is picked up. It was like they spent the next 6 hours. All it took was like 6 hours. They spent the next 6 hours cleaning this place like to perfection. And the rest of the day, it was like a ghost town.
Yeah. Everybody's nursing their hangovers.
I mean, just you go to a restaurant, like there's a couple of people in the place. You go walking down the street the next night. You're like, I'm going to go out for a beer. Like there's like three people in the bar. It's like it never happened. It was so amazing.
The only people that go out on that day are the people that cleaned up for those 6 hours.
Or the people at the school psychologist convention.
Oh, the school psychologist convention. That's right.
Yeah. So
how was your beer? So your beer is good. It's your favorite. You're not your first time for that one, but.
No. I got it today.
Oh, that's the first one?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Cool. No, it's. That, well, and the reason I asked the questions, what would you expect, is because in the fine print, it says golden coffee ale. And I'm like, well, what would you expect?
Right.
That's why I was saying, like, when you said stout and creamy and all, that's exactly what I would expect. And I just knew, I don't know why I knew, but I just knew it was going to be like a pale ale, coffee-infused pale ale almost, which is exactly what this is.
Awesome.
Oh, yeah, there's no hops whatsoever. It's all coffee. I'm gonna be up all night.
So Anne cooked this jambalaya in the Instant Pot, and you know, other than the prep time's the same, but the cooking time was quite compressed. So it cooked really quickly. I made a couple of old fashions for Anne and I, and we watched The Princess and the Frog.
Princess and the Frog.
Because The Princess and the Frog, it takes place during Mardi Gras. So
The Princess and the Frog.
Yeah, Bryce wanted to, you know, it was a very clever thing because it's a weeknight, but since we were celebrating, you know, Fat Tuesday and Mardi Gras, I guess that means the same thing. I guess Mardi Gras means Fat Tuesday. He said, oh, we should watch Princess and the Frog because it takes place during Mardi Gras.
I did not know that.
Anne and I were like, all right, that's a good enough reason to lift the ban of watching TV on a weeknight.
There you go. Oh, no TV for the weeknights.
Yeah. During school? Yeah, for sure.
Oh, we gotta enact that. Usually we do is like, while I'm cooking dinner, they can have an episode or two while dinner's cooking.
Yeah.
So they'll play and they'll read and they'll do stuff before I start cooking. And then once I start cooking, that's like the green light to go watch something.
Right.
And then once dinner's being served, it's like, all right, cut it off, you know? So that's usually how we do it. But man, I should do that.
Well, yeah, I guess the kids get to have their phones on the car ride home. So that's like, you know, 40 minutes on the way home.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, see, we don't do that. So I guess it all plays out even.
It all plays out. And then on Monday night, I went to the doghouse up here in Northridge. Have you been to the doghouse?
Doghouse? No, I never heard of it.
The Doghouse. Oh, it's a great hot dog joint. And we know the family that owns that place. And the son of the owner and Bryce are like thick as thieves. They always like hug each other when we go in there. And they had this great...
What's the intersection?
Reseda and... what's Parthenia? No, it's even further north than Parthenia. But, you know, it's up there.
Okay, yeah, one day we're going to have to go get a couple of Barkers over there.
Yeah, so they have awesome hot dogs, great burgers, you know, high-end burgers. And then they have a good selection of beer. And he gave me... So
the doghouse. Okay.
So we went in there and it was like this... I forget what it was like. It was 15%. That's all I remember. And he was like...
Holy cow.
Normally we give this in a tulip in a 5-ounce pour, but I gave you a whole pint, he said to me. I was like, sweet. Thank you.
Jeez, you must have walked out of there just smashed.
No, I had to. We were working on my church's website, so I had to sip it like for the next hour and a half, 2 hours.
Oh, okay. No, but what we should do though is next time we're in, we should definitely go and have lunch there or something.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, and then tomorrow we have Timmy's birthday party. I feel like you guys like celebrating birthdays for like weeks on end.
So Timmy has his local birthday party.
That's right. Yeah. So because of Legoland and all the festivities that we were doing, this is now for he and his little buddies from school and stuff. Uh-huh. So he's got a bunch of little buddies coming over, and Clarice is doing like wiener dog fried. I don't even know what they are, but it's like wrapping wieners and things. And we have sandwiches come in. We'll play musical chairs and do like what kids like to do for 7-year-old birthday parties, I guess.
Awesome.
You know, yeah, yeah. The only thing I could gather is you don't like that I could sleep nights without a CPAP. So you want me to have nightmares and stay awake. So these are the trailers you chose. Is this what I'm understanding?
This is, you know, it's not fully. I had to add Minions at the end because I was like, oh, this is a little too dark for us, right?
Well, I had to recover from that movie. But I thought this was like, you know, like CPAP or anti-CPAP envy or something.
Yeah. Well, no, you know why I had to pick Candyman?
Why?
Because our friend, our trailer junkie for life, John Cantu, the editor from episode 67.
Oh, he did this?
He edited the trailer for us, and he edited the trailer for this.
Very cool.
This trailer tonight.
Oh, my God, it's scary. It's a play on Bloody Mary, though. You ever do that as a kid?
Well, it's not a full-on... Well, I think maybe the original Candyman was... It's a remake of Candyman.
Okay, a remake of Candyman. What I'm saying, though, is Bloody Mary, the thing where, like, when you're, like, a teenager, you go in the bathroom and say, like, Bloody Mary, Bloody... You know, like, you do all the...
Oh, right.
Yeah, it's like a replay. It's not a replay, but it's a play off Bloody Mary, right?
I did not... We only did Candyman, so...
Really? Is that true?
Yeah, I mean, I've heard of Bloody Mary.
Because I asked Clarissa, and she knew Bloody Mary like to the T.
Mm.
So I grew up in Chicago. She grows up in LA. We're 12 years apart and we had the exact same Bloody Mary thing.
Huh.
And wow, that's so weird. So Candyman and Bloody Mary are the same thing.
I think so. I mean, that's what it seems to me. I'm sure Bloody Mary sounds like it predates Candyman.
Maybe. But I mean, I'll have to say the movie looks completely terrifying.
I mean, do you know anything about the first one? Did you see the first one, or you stayed away from it?
No, I did not. I know nothing about it. I didn't even know this was a remake.
Yeah. So this is a remake of a campy horror flick. I want to say from the 90s. But back in the original Candyman, you only said Candyman three times.
And this is five times.
This is five times. So I don't know why they had to change that, but it's, you know, it's interesting to think that they had to change it from three times to five times.
They wanted to make sure that if you said it five times, you were committed.
That's right.
Like, I'm in for the long haul. I have the endurance to go the whole way. Are you into this? Or, I mean, this is like terrifying. I'm not going to watch this.
I'm totally into it because, to me, it's an interesting twist.
I like that it takes place in Chicago. That's cool.
Oh yeah, yeah. The what's it? The projects. The
Cabrini Green.
Cabrini Green. Very, very famous projects.
I wouldn't say I've been to Cabrini Green, but I've been like through Cabrini Green, like driving down Division Street and such.
Uh-huh.
Man, that too is terrifying. But now, like, they're closing down all the projects and things. And I mean, that's a whole political thing I really don't want to get into. But
I thought it got gentrified.
Well, that's exactly right.
Yeah.
You know, that neighborhood and many other neighborhoods are gentrifying. And they've literally, you know, when they put the explosive devices in the towers.
Right.
And they implode on themselves. And yeah, they've done that with like the Robert Taylor homes. And they like the whole thing is for the better, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But then it's, you know, what do you do with the people who were living there? And like I said, it's so political. I don't want to get into all that.
Yeah.
But you know, and other topics with it, though, was the 90s version, was that an Invisible Man guy too? Is it all really the same? Because I don't know. I don't know anything about the original Candyman.
Yeah, so the original Candyman is very, very campy. It has the Candyman with the hook, and he's killing people.
Okay, so it's similar.
Very, very similar, but a little more straightforward slasher.
Yeah.
And then, like, this, to me, because of what we've seen in the trailer, it gives it...
This is like mind horror.
Yeah, and it gives it... It's really another layer of, you know, Jordan Peele. You know, Jordan Peele produced this one. He didn't direct this one. But it definitely has elements of Us and Get Out in it, where it has this social commentary. Obviously, they mentioned Cabrini Green in the trailer.
Yeah.
So it's got the social commentary. And then it's got this another commentary of art. You know, it's like, what is art, you know, when it's used in this way? And who is the artist when the artist becomes part of this occult kind of seance thing where they're, you know, he's part of this reckoning of, you know, so to speak. And, you know, it's just the only negative that I have, and I do not blame John at all for this, is it felt like it gave a lot of the story away. You know, I watched it with...
You think so?
I watched it with my coworker, and I was like, oh, maybe I don't need to see this. But there's something about the development of the artist into Candyman that makes me want to see it just for that kind of, where does this transformation take place? And does he rectify it? Does he fix it so that he, does he undo the evil that he had unwittingly sowed with his art, you know?
You know, I don't know about that. I mean, after roughly, what, 300 trailers we've discussed,
yeah,
interviewed a number of directors, trailer editors, cutters, and so on.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I think we should be cautious with those, like, they're giving all the story away, because we know that they cut them out of order. They cut in, they cut out the twists. They cut in twists. Mm-hmm. Everything is so misleading with all these trailers that we've been talking about all this, you know, these number of years. You think they're giving the story away? I don't know. I mean, I would be, I'm not saying they're not. I would be cautious to make that leap.
Oh, they're giving elements away.
Okay.
And there's definitely going to be pieces that will shock and surprise you. The shock and awe is going to be there throughout.
I'm so worried about the jump scares.
But this trailer had the exact opposite, and it was my favorite part of the whole trailer, when the girlfriend cuts him off and everything in the whole trailer stops, and she just shakes him off and says no. It was just like, it was my favorite part of the whole trailer, because you're with her and you're going along, you're bracing yourself for that jump scare. And then you have this voice of reason, this logical girlfriend telling him to stop.
And you're thinking, this is way too familiar at dinner time. Everyone shushes me. So, I mean, are you going to watch it or are you not going to watch it?
I'm going to watch it. I'm going to watch
it. You will?
I think so.
By yourself, or is Ann into this? Or
I have to watch these things by myself. That's it. That's all I got.
Oh my God. Even like both me and Clarissa were like, no way. And I mean, if I was by myself, oh my God, I would be worse. I wouldn't sleep. Like, I don't know if I can handle these things. I have nightmares.
It's fine. I can always, wow. I can sleep.
I'm not making a joke either. I'm being serious when I say that.
I know you're serious.
Yeah.
But the only time I can't watch these is if, like, Anne and the kids are out of town.
The only time you can watch them.
I can't watch it if they're out of town. Like, I'll go to the movie theater.
Oh, because you're at home by yourself.
Yeah, I'll go to the movie theater, I'll watch it, or I'll watch it at home, like, in the living room, and then go to bed with Anne. But if I'm home alone, there's no way I'm watching this.
Like a squeaky mouse, and all of a sudden you're, like, leaping to the chandelier.
Exactly.
Right? Okay. Well, yeah. Okay. At least you're not more man than me, I guess.
When was the last time, like, you slept in a house all to yourself?
That's a good, you know what? It's been a long time. I mean, yeah, you know what?
It's been years for me. Like, it's been like 3 years.
When you break it down, like, I don't know. It would be Creepsville. And I think it would be Creepsville because, like, even though the boys are in the other room sleeping, and let's say Clarissa, for whatever reason, is out of town, you know, on like a business trip or something.
Right.
At least if something goes down, there's like two other sets of ears that might wake up and alert me.
Right.
But like,
don't forget Jake, three sets of ears.
Oh, he'll lick them. Yeah. Jake will like get up, scratch, flop, lick them. Yeah, no, but you're right, though, man. I haven't slept in a house by myself. And even if we go, like, visit somewhere, my in-laws, my parents.
Yeah.
Like, no matter where you go, you're never alone. Wow.
It's amazing. Like, your life changes, and then you're never alone. And then I was alone for that 1 week, like, 3 years ago, and I was like, it was amazing. It was very strange.
Wow. I don't know how I would take to that. That you're right. Oh, my goodness. Okay. Well, before you keep blowing my mind, let's move on to the A24 mind bender of St. Maude.
Yes. So what do you think about this? This is like, you know, I'm only Jesus light, you know, I go to church, but this felt like so, like, it's a religious horror movie. I can't understand that they're subdividing horror into religious horror now.
So are you a C&E Christian, or are you more than that?
What's that? Oh, Christmas and Easter.
Yeah.
No, I'm more than that.
Oh, okay. So you're more than a C&E Christian.
Definitely more than a C&E Christian.
Okay.
I want to say we're every Sunday, but, you know, Sunday's a busy day. Sometimes you can get there, sometimes you can't. But, you know, I want to say average three Sundays a month.
Oh, okay. Okay.
That's a lot.
You know, the thing is, instead of Morfid Clark, how do you pronounce her name? Morfid?
Maud, what do you mean?
Yeah, Maud is Morfid Clark.
What? I didn't know that.
The actress's name.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know the actress.
Okay, but what I heard was, you're killing my joke here, man.
Sorry.
Instead of Morfid Clark, I heard they want to be Arthur. But, you know, unfortunately she passed, you know, because she played Maud.
She'd be a great Maud.
Well, she was Maud.
She's a little typecast.
Yeah, she was Maud, you know, from the 70s. Come on here. But, I mean, A24 loves these mind-bending horror flicks that, like, on its face make no sense. And you're like, and you think to yourself, why would I go see this?
Right.
You know, because there's something about the story I'm missing, but yet it looks so intriguing.
The trailer doesn't really give away. It's all out of place. It's all disjointed.
But that's how A24 does it, though.
Yeah, it's just scare upon scare upon scare, you know?
And do you notice, too, like, with all the A24s we've covered, you know, but for How to Talk to Girls at Parties, they have, like, it's like the same sound score for all these kinds of movies.
Yes, they do fall into this.
The quick and sharp, squeaky violin.
Right.
You know, and it's like all the same, just, yeah, it's like I said, but for How to Talk to Girls, and that was all like punk rock.
Right. And we just did The Green Knight last week, and you're right. I mean, that's the score of The Green Knight was part of the reason it felt like a horror movie, you know?
Yeah, because A24 has like, it's almost like they created a score, and they put out the visual of their trailer, and they just hit play, and it doesn't matter, but the same musical background plays no matter what their trailer is.
Oh, that's hilarious. I can imagine the executive just saying like, no, just stick to the score. We're going to reuse the score every time.
Okay, but start it on the upbeat for this one, and then the next one will start on the downbeat. Right? I mean,
right. It has to have a little variety, you know?
Yeah, yeah. It's like, do you start on the 3 count or the 2 count?
We'll backmask it for the last black man in San Francisco, but that's
it. Backmask it. So what I wound up doing at a minute and 15, where Maud slaps her mom, I guess. I don't know who the character is. It's too hard to know.
Right.
But she does the slap of the face.
Uh-huh.
Right? So, like I said, a minute 15. I slowed it down as slow as YouTube would go, which looks like about a quarter speed.
Uh-huh.
You could totally tell that the woman starts moving her face long before the swing even comes.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it's like, I'm just like, oh, man, you're like, your timing is off, you know? And so she swings. And as she's getting close to the face, you know, because you see like the face just jerk away.
Yeah.
A second before, maybe not a second, but like a split second before the hand gets there. Like the timing is off. Yeah, it's like the brilliance of the quarter speed of YouTube.
Just to destroy filmmaking, you know?
Dude, and you know what the other bad thing is? When she puts her foot into the bed of nails.
Oh, yeah.
Well, first of all, the scrunching sound it makes is just god awful. But what it got me thinking is like, okay, I get it. You know, like you're trying to be some, I don't know, like self-torturous.
Masochist.
Masochist. I knew there was a term.
Yes.
You're like a masochist, right?
Mm-hmm.
But what got me thinking is like the equivalent that the average person can relate to is like when you're on a hike and you get like that rock in your shoe. You don't really want to stop, but like it's just annoying you for like a mile down the trail until you're finally like, you know, like I got to get this rock out of my shoe. Oh, man, this movie was just like so over the top for me. Like, I'm sure it's going to appeal to someone.
Oh, there's tons of horror fans out there.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. But this was so unappealing to me. Like, I would go see Candyman before this.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is a straight up religious horror film. So,
oh, it's not as bad as our favorite religious horror film, The Nun.
Watch it till the end. So St. Maud, neither of us are going to see it, that's for sure.
Okay, let me ask. Okay, so you say neither of us are going to see it.
Right.
I can say with near certainty, like, never's probably a good word to use here.
Uh-huh.
But you never know. I wouldn't say never, but probably it's highly unlikely. Is there a chance you might see this?
No.
Okay, then you're in my boat. Like, I would, like I said, I would see Candyman before St. Maud, but even, like, Maud, like, really, that's her name is Maud? Like, isn't that, like, a female? I don't even know, I'm just guessing, but I think from just, you know, going into my trivia banks, isn't that, like, a German, like, title for, like, I don't know, a woman who never had kids or something? I don't even know, but it's...
Oh, is that right?
It might be. I'm just guessing. So you do the research on Maud.
Okay.
And then we'll get back to it. But, okay, my favorite one, and... will see with certainty Minions, The Rise of Gru.
Yes.
Okay, can I first say, ask one question?
Ask away.
Do you keep wanting to say Groot?
50-50.
See?
Yeah.
Yeah, I keep wanting to say, you know, like, my name is Groot.
I am
And
Groot.
Even when he walks in to the council for the interview, he even says, my name is Groot.
Well, it's I am Groot, isn't it?
Or I am Groot. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, and what is he? Maybe he says...
I think he says, my name is Groot.
Okay. But it's still too close.
It's very close. I definitely have that inclination about half the time.
Yeah, me too. And I keep having to, like, correct myself to say, no, it's not Groot, it's Gru. But I'll have to say, though, they have their little, like, intro with the... trailer to the trailer, and mm-hmm. there's the little minion in the corner, and, you know, you kind of see the guy with his little giggle, and he's like a 1-inch by 1-inch square or something, you know, little thing.
Yeah.
So you don't think much. But when he takes the medallion and gets on his rocket bike or whatever, and he has the minions with him, like the 4 or 5 guys.
Uh-huh.
I mean, the smile that came across my face, I didn't necessarily intend to laugh or smile, but, like, it was so pleasing to see those little yellow buggers that I smiled and I was just like, oh my God, this is, like, I felt like I was at home with a movie that I've always enjoyed.
Yes.
With the minions.
And it's funny that the minions have really, like, become larger than everything else, right? Like,
oh yeah, totally.
You know, Gru is great and he's like their leader and all, but as far as the draw is the minions, you know, the draw are these little guys that speak this French gibberish or whatever.
Right. And what I love about them, though, is when they speak, and whoever does the minions, like, language uh-huh. is so brilliant because they give you just enough to know what the gist of what they're trying to say is, but they never say anything.
It's, yeah.
So whoever came up with the minions language is just brilliant.
Oh, it's amazing. It's all contextual, you know what I mean?
Well, and they do say real words, or they'll say, like, parts of real worlds, or, like, phonemes or morphemes or syllables of real words.
Right, right.
And it's like, but they never say anything, yet you know exactly what they're saying.
Sometimes I think there's French in there. There's French in there, for sure.
French?
I think there's French in there somewhere.
That's not fair to the French. Well, no, that's not fair to... That's too biased. I mean, if a French guy watches this, he knows exactly what's going on.
But it's like French gibberish. It's like as much English as it is French.
It would be great, though, if you could put on, like, minion subtitles. Like, you go to Netflix and you just hit subtitles and it just starts saying what they're saying, but, like, it's half gibberish.
Yeah, it's phonetically written.
It's phonetic gibberish. Like, that would be awesome.
Or, like, sometimes subtitles say speaking minion, you know?
Exactly, yeah. 100% gonna watch. We watched all the other ones with the boys, and we're fans. We like the Minions. It's
a great franchise. It's a great franchise. Yeah, and
it's a no-brainer. Yeah,
I appreciate the angle on this. You know, this is like an origin story, so to speak. Gru's origin story,
for sure. Yeah. Yeah, and right.
Did you like the little poke at Lucasfilm?
Did I miss it?
Yeah, look at the title.
Well, Minions, the Rise of Gru. Okay. I'm not even paying attention here. It's like, yeah, the Rise of Skywalker, the Rise of Gru.
You know what I mean?
That's it's hilarious. Like, okay, it's like, now it's even funnier. I'm going to go watch it even more.
So yeah. And then the villains look amazing as always, you know, and there doesn't ever have to be a good guy in these things. It's amazing, right?
Oh, I know. Like, it's like, who's badder than who? But yet the baddest guy of all is the good guy that you're rooting for.
Exactly. Right? Exactly.
Oh, I mean, and let me just say, this is definitely an in-theater viewing.
Yeah, with the boys and everything, popcorn, everything.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, the last time we did an in-theater viewing with the four of us is, what's the family superhero one?
Oh, what do you mean?
The Ultimates. No. What's their name? Oh my God, I'm drawn.
The Incredibles.
The Ultimates. Listen to me. How idiotic. No, The Incredibles 2. We took the boys to go see The Incredibles 2 and we all had a good time. And again, that's another franchise, a couple movies. But we're friends. We're fans. I wish we were friends. That'd be cool. But we're fans of The Incredibles. And I'm hoping this is going to be another one of those fun family go into the movie outings where you just, like you say, get the popcorn and everybody's into just like nothing serious, and it's like the baddest guy of all is the good guy, you know. I mean,
and it's a good time for all, and you know, it's gonna be great. I will break a little news since you brought up The Incredibles.
Okay.
I have a story from this week.
Uh-oh.
I don't know if you heard.
I have not.
I have a new big boss.
Wait a minute, you have a new big boss?
Bob Iger stepped down this week. Did you hear about this?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, so Bob Iger stepped down. Obviously, I can't say a lot, although I don't know anything super confidential. But I will say the one fun thing that he had said during one of the satellites was he did not like the name Incredicoaster.
So is he the reason, since Disney is so enormous, is he the reason the stock market is taking a plunge? Because he steps down.
So it's funny you mentioned that, because everyone was so like taken aback at the way it happened. And when they announced that he was stepping down, it was effective immediately. And he was then took the executive chairman of the board role. Right. So I think it's like, you know, he basically gave himself a promotion to executive chairman. And as always, caveat this with the idea that I do not speak for Disney and there's nothing negative in this, but it's such a boss move to give yourself this raise, you know, like give yourself this promotion, like you're CEO, but who's in charge of the CEO? The board. All right, I'll put myself in charge of the board. You know what I mean? And give up the day-to-day operations of being CEO. So it's amazing. Bob Chapek's amazing. He's an amazing, you know, executive as well. So he's the one taking over.
So what's his name? Bob who?
Bob Chapek.
Bob Chapek.
Yeah. So there's two, it's Bob taking over Bob. So you don't have to change the first name on the door.
Yeah. So the door just continues to say Bob.
Right. And it's the two Bobs are sitting up there, you know? So my thought was, you know, the stock market tanked for Monday and Tuesday. And then I think it was either Tuesday or Wednesday.
Oh, it's tanked all week.
Right. But either Tuesday or Wednesday, Iger, you know, Disney comes out with the announcement. And I can only say this because no one ever confirmed this in anything that I've heard, that my theory is that, you know, the stock market is tanking, coronavirus is out there, which is going to, you know, impact parks and cruise lines, you know, which is a two big business units for Disney.
For sure.
And why not just pile a little more uncertainty? You know, it's not a bad thing. People are like, oh, pile all the negatives together. And I'm like, you know, the stock market doesn't really get affected by negatives. They get affected by uncertainty. So the idea of saying like, ooh, we don't know what's going to happen with the coronavirus. So that's uncertainty. And that's what's really driving the stock market down. But while we take this 3% daily hit, you know, 2% daily hit, let's add in Bob Iger stepping down and we'll just throw it in with a wash. You know what I mean? And in the end of the day, the week long drop is going to just have a little bit of a blip added to it. You know? So it's funny you mentioned that, because that is literally why I thought it was effective immediately. Because normally something like this monumental happens and you announce it in a plan and you say, over the next few months, we're going to do this. Over the next 1 year, we're going to do this. But there wasn't anything like that. It was like effective immediately. Here's the new guy, you know?
Wow. I didn't know. So that, I wonder like if things will change, or I guess if he's the head of the board, he might still be directing things. I mean, who knows? So we'll find out.
Yeah. So we'll find out. And it's kind of the end of an era in my mind too. The other thing I was saying about it.
How many years has he been there mentioning the end of an era?
He was there for 40 plus. He's been at Disney for 40 years, I want to say.
But wow.
He's only been CEO for 15 or something like that. But it's a long.
That's a good run though.
A long run for a CEO.
Yeah.
I think the average CEO is like 4 years, three to four years.
And it was what, Eisen or something? Or no, what was his name before that?
Oh, yeah, Michael Eisner.
Eisner, that's who it was, yeah.
But there was somebody else between them. There's another, a few little guys, but it was funny. It was funny to look back, and there's only been like seven CEOs of Disney, so it's kind of amazing.
Yeah, it's definitely a solid company. I mean, they've been, well, it was like Disney and then his brother, and then...
Yeah.
I mean, we could probably name four of them off the top of our head, you know what I mean? But
Carden Walker, Eisner, Iger, and Roy. So,
Roy was the brother, right?
Walt was never the CEO.
Oh, he was not.
I think he was like the president or something.
Oh, okay.
But I think Roy was the first CEO.
Gotcha. But yeah, okay, I gotcha. When it went public or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, so just to finish up, though, Minions, The Rise of Gru. I mean,
yes.
You're watching this, I'm assuming.
100%. I'm paying for this. I'm watching it. Yes.
Yeah, we will too. I mean, I think this is going to be an in theater. Take the boys to the show. Like you said, grab popcorn. It just looks so much fun. When I saw the Minions on the bike with him, on the jet bike, leaving with the medallion, I couldn't help but, you know, the uncontrollable smile crossed my face. And I was so happy to see them. And it's just nothing but good things to say about it. So,
and the trailer gives you a story too, you know?
It does.
It gives you that awesome story of losing the medallion. You know what I mean?
Right.
And I love that when, you know, you're rewarded for watching a trailer, basically, you know, it's like, it's not just a teaser to the movie. It's not just a commercial for the movie. We'll give you some closure within a trailer.
And here's the thing about that. Let's assume that is the whole point of the movie, right? So yeah. He goes, he wants the thing, and obviously part of the movie is they're going to try and go recapture it or reclaim it.
Yes.
But the cool thing about it, though, is they get to show you that he loses the medallion for this pet rock or trades it. And they kind of give you at least 50% of the movie, even if that was 100% of the movie. Like, the movie's going to expand on all that.
Right.
And you're such a fan that you're like, okay, I'll go see the rest. Because you don't even need, like... It's not about the destination. How did we get here? It's about more like, how did we get here? Not like, well, we're just there.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's exciting. I'm looking forward to it.
And I think that that perfectly encapsulates the way I feel about Candyman too. Like, it can give you plot points. It can show you, it can expose different things about it, but it's not giving it all away. And if it, whatever it does give away, it doesn't matter because it's about the journey.
Exactly.
Awesome.
For sure. All right. What are you watching this week?
All right, cool. So it was very funny today. I was so super excited at work. We have a culture club. So somebody from the culture club sent an email out to everyone.
Culture club?
You know, because you got to build culture. You got to make sure that the culture is working, right? So the culture club sent out an email today with a little Google survey on it. And it said, what are you watching? Name three things you watched this week and how you watch them. And I was like, oh, this is so
awesome. Wow.
So I had to recount the three things that I watched this week. So I said, oh, this is good practice for tonight. I gotta boat up on this.
Yeah.
So I watched with Anne, and this was great, this Modern Love. Have you heard of Modern Love?
I have, yeah.
You heard about the New York Times column? Or
have not heard about the New York Times column, but Modern Love I've heard of, yeah.
So Modern Love is based on a New York Times column. And
oh, okay. I didn't know that.
And they're all like short stories by guest writers in the New York Times. And when the column was in its heyday, I guess they shopped it around and they created this, you know, series of vignettes, you know. And Anne and I watched like the first three, and they were really, really fun. They're all different. They're all independent. They're all love letters to New York City, you know? So, and it was just a fun, uplifting, not crazy, you know, it hit quite a sweet spot that I've been missing in like adult entertainment. It seems like for me, adult entertainment has to be like something that's over the top, like Mr. Robot or science fiction, like Lost in Space. This just hit something, and I always struggle to find stuff that I want to watch with Anne.
Yeah.
So it was nice to be able to watch this with Anne and have us want to watch three in a row and technically binge.
You know? Very cool. So other than that, anything else? Or
yeah. So I watched then obviously we watched Princess of the Frog, like I said.
And oh, that's right. Yeah.
That's a great movie to always watch. And there was a couple other things. I don't know. I'll come back to it. You do you.
All right. So I'm going to give a rundown. Hit them all quick. And then if you want to stop on anything, then stop me and we could get after it. But
okay.
In no particular order, Mr. Robot, I'd say the big thing there was I'm in the indoor trainer doing like VO2 max intervals. Yeah. And he's wanting to re-swallow pills that he vomited up.
Oh, it's so
and
gross.
He's like swimming in his own vomit, and I'm at my vomit limit from training, and I certainly was turning my head away to not vomit. So that's Mr. Robot. Ford versus Ferrari, we rented on Amazon Prime.
Oh, sweet. Did you love it?
Great movie. Yeah.
It's amazing, right?
It was awesome. I would say watching the documentary that Adam Carolla produced first,
uh-huh.
I would say the movie hits it about 90%.
It's amazing.
Yeah, they were pretty spot on accurate, but for a few minor details. But I mean, it was like historically speaking and everything, it was very accurate. It was awesome acting. It was great cinema that I never could say that.
Cinematography.
Cinematography. There you go. I can never say that.
You always want to say cinema photography.
That's what I want to say. You're right.
Photography. You just.
That's right. Right.
Cinematography. Okay. Good. We got it.
But overall, though, I mean, like, yeah, awesome movie. You know, I knew a lot of the story going into the movie, like what happens to the guys and, you know, kind of the ending. So there was really no spoilers or no surprises. It was just like, let's see how they play this out. And it was awesome. Yeah.
I will say, so my favorite thing, well,
the sound was amazing too. Yeah. With the race cars.
So just thematically and I guess cinematically, there's something that I think people didn't necessarily notice, and maybe people did, but when they have that fight outside of his house, outside of Miles's house.
Oh yeah, yeah.
In the park, right? It's just, it's that beautiful thing where it's just the energy of people fighting for real and then play fighting and then, you know, devolving into this brotherly competition, right? This true fraternal bond that these two guys had, right? So that plays out in the park across the street from his house, right?
Yeah.
And then the next time we see him standing in that park across the street from his house, Miles has passed away.
Right.
And he's watching them from afar, and he's standing in the place where they had that great moment together. And I think as an audience, even if you don't recognize that that is physically that place, you are brought back to that moment in the movie. So I think the movie does these great things on all these levels where even if you don't know why you're feeling this way, it heightens the emotion that he's feeling for the people that are left behind, because the last time we saw that space, they were fighting and they were having some of the best moments of their fraternal time together, you know?
Yeah, no, I know exactly what you're talking about. And I mean, minus the passing away, of course, but like I see with my own boys.
Oh yeah.
They'll be fighting over who knows what. And then later they're in those exact places sharing those exact things they were fighting over.
Yeah. It's amazing.
Yeah. It was great movie. I mean, to say it was the best movie of 2019, like the one guy was telling you, might be a little bit of a stretch.
Oh, it was my favorite of 2019.
Yeah. I mean, I thought it was great. I just didn't see all the movies of 2019, you know? So overall though, I mean, it was a good movie. Mm-hmm. The next one, believe it or not, I've never seen this movie. Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade.
Oh, okay.
So I'm looking for what to watch. It was like last Saturday, I was on the indoor trainer and I was doing 2 hours, you know, and I'm like, all right, I got to watch a movie here. So I thought, and I think it was like on Amazon or something. And I'm like, how have I never seen this? I've always seen the ending when he crosses the bridge, but I never saw the whole movie, you know? So I thought, screw it. Today's the day I'm going to watch it, you know? And
yeah.
And I would say, yeah, right in the Indiana Jones wheelhouse. The one thing though, that I think I took from it, the movie totally holds up, by the way, but the one thing that I took from it is the way the coloring, the lighting, the visuals are, it's so much so because of the younger looking Harrison Ford. It's one of those like CGI young things. And if you didn't know any better, and if you just happened to walk in on me watching this,
yeah,
you'd be like, is this like a young Harrison Ford, like CGI moment type thing, you know?
Right.
And yeah, it was one of those things where like we were talking about this when on The Irishman.
Yes, yes.
And this is one of those things where like with The Irishman, for example, and how they made Joe Pesci look younger. And I made the comment, I think, where it was like, yeah, they look younger, but they still move like they're 75.
Yeah.
Like they still have broken backs, even though they look younger. So you're not fooling anybody. But with Indiana Jones, it looked like he was CGI'd almost, which in other words says the CGI is doing pretty good to make people look young, you know. But overall, like I said, it totally holds up.
So
a lot of fun.
Do you know the controversy, or do you know the main internet question about Last Crusade?
I just watched it for the first time 20 some odd years after it came out, so of course I don't know the controversy.
So it's not controversy, but the question that the internet has for you as a new viewer, now I want to see it from your fresh eyes.
Okay.
Did Elsa choose the wrong cup for the chalice on purpose?
Oh. I thought that, and the guy just grabbed it and said, I'm going to do it, and he just downs the water.
Right. So did she do it on purpose?
Or while did she watching?
Just, yeah.
My initial thought was she did it on purpose to get rid of the guy.
Really? Okay.
That was my initial thought. Like, all she did was say, oh, I'll choose. Bam, here you go. Like,
it was just the speed at which she chose and the lack of care.
Yeah. I mean, somebody choosing would be a little bit more thoughtful in which would be my opinion. Which one am I going to choose? I'm going to take my time and really think through the problem because, you know, you walk in, there's this knight, you know, but
who's been living there just by drinking,
like 700 years old. Yeah. No, I wouldn't say she, well, did she do it on purpose or did she, or was she?
Yeah. Did she do it to kill him?
Or was she careless? So in other words, was it her way to murder him?
Yes. Did she kill Donovan or did she?
I'll go with yes. She did it on purpose.
Interesting.
Yeah.
See, not all Nazis are bad, I guess.
Yeah. Well, we'll find out come election day. Oh, did I just say that? Oh, my God.
You have to leave it in.
Yeah. Okay, so two more. Okay, Super Size Me 2, Holy Chicken.
No.
Yeah, that was another one on the trainer. So typical Morgan Spurlock documentary.
Typical Morgan Spurlock gotcha documentary.
Yeah, like, you know, informative, but, you know, it's his typical, like, I'm just going to show up and then, like, hey, I'm going to create, like, a chicken farm and then I'm just going to open up a chicken thing. You know, yeah, you know, it's just typical Morgan Spurlock. That's all I got to say. Oh, my God, that's my thorough review. Typical Morgan Spurlock.
See, you're doing it. Yay.
Yeah. And then the last one, El Camino, a Breaking Bad story.
Okay. You watched that.
Yeah. We watched that one too. So I don't know. 2 hours to tell me he goes to Alaska. You know, I mean, it was okay. I don't know. It was depressing.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, to say that this guy is on the lam and his parents and there's whatever murders are going on and he finds the money in the fridge and
but that's a great sequence.
Oh, it was, I'm not saying it wasn't great. I'm just saying, like, overall though, man, like, if that's someone's life, like, how depressing. Ugh.
But,
you know,
to me, it was closure.
Well, closure from the story that happened because they left they closed out Walter White, but they left Pinkman hanging.
Exactly.
It's like they had to come back to say, here's how we're going to close out your character because your character was so profound in the show.
Right.
And the other characters had a spinoff.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, I think it's what I wanted to do. It was a sweet little spot that just let us have another couple hours with him and to see his denouement, to see his ending, you know?
I'll tell you though.
Yeah, tell me.
From the previous footage from prior episodes from, like, you know, 7 years ago and stuff. Uh-huh. Man, he put on some weight. He got chunky. But I mean, overall, did you liked it, I'm assuming?
I loved it.
Okay.
I like when Badger and Skinny Pete, like when he escapes and gets to those two guys.
Yeah.
There again, you know, it's all about, like, how can you cinematically prove fraternity? You know what I mean? So it's like those two guys love Jesse, you know what I mean? And
dude, Skinny Pete was all about helping him.
And it's
whatever,
just
like, it takes, man.
Just like, give him more money, Badger. You know, you have more money than this. You know what I mean? He's got to go on the lam. This is his last chance, you know?
Well, and even when he was in the house and he's leaving, he's like, dude, just take this car and I'll take the hit for it.
Right, exactly.
You know, like, I'll go down for it, man. Don't worry about it. You just get out of here. Like, yeah.
So that to me, that was worth the price of admission, which was nothing because it's on Netflix, you know.
On Netflix, right.
But just to see Skinny Pete, and again, it's the code of honor among thieves, you know. It's a great angle to something that, you know, is basically just a bunch of, you know, what in a regular story would be bad guys, you know?
I agree with you. I just think the outcome of, okay, here's Alaska. See you later. It's like, okay, sure. You know, I thought the ending was a little bit too easy, you know, just.
Okay, right.
You know, get to Alaska and then the police won't be after you ever again. You know what I mean? It's like, is that how it happens? Like, all I gotta do is go to Alaska?
Well, he had to go through a little rigmarole with Robert Forrester, you know?
Yeah, he did do the false identity kind of whatever, you know, he does for, because he needed 180 grand or whatever it was.
Yeah. Robert Forrester. And I guess for me, Robert Forrester, because Robert Forrester just passed away, that was kind of like an interesting angle for me. It made me feel sentimental for him, you know, one of his last roles, you know?
Oh yeah, for sure. Oh, and he played like a great vacuum cleaner salesman.
One of the best vacuum cleaner salesmen you can.
And what I love though is Jesse's going crazy on him. He's just standing there. He's like,
so chill.
I still want my 1800 bucks or whatever it was, right?
Like, yeah.
The dollar amount was so minuscule and he would not budge. Like, I don't care that you're in trouble. This is the price, you know? And that was, I thought, when you think of it in those terms, what's so brilliant with having your price is that it's, and it being non-negotiable is the minute you bend, then every other criminal is going to come in and expect a different price.
Right. Right.
Or for you to bend, but because you don't bend, like, hey, you want my services? Here it is. Otherwise,
this is
go
the
away.
Price.
Yeah. Go away. All right, man. So you said you were going to get back to some watching or viewing, or what did you do, or what did you not watch?
Well, let me just tell you, this Carnival is a very good beer.
So, okay, let's finish with that. How did it finish?
It's finishing very nice. The Saison is warming nicely, which is always a nice touch. I will say I had a couple drinks at work, not at work, but after work with some coworkers. So this is not my first beer of the evening. So, you know, it's kind of crazy. You know, I guess I have a reputation at work now as well, where my boss ordered a beer for somebody who was on their way. And then somebody else was like, oh, I already ordered another beer for Chris, who's on his way, you know? And she looked at me, she goes, I don't think we have any problem with finishing two beers, you know? And so when the two beers came out for Chris, she just put that second one in front of me. And I was like, I was just going to have one beer. And she goes, you're fine.
Nice. They know. They listen. Yeah, I would say that this Figaro Mountain Zero to Sexy Golden Coffee Ale is definitely an awesome coffee ale. But... man, one at a time is enough. Like, two would be too many. Like, it's a super rich flavor.
Uh-huh.
Definitely good, definitely rich.
Is it new? Is it new to the Figaro Mountain?
It's a seasonal. It's a seasonal. Yeah. So I saw it was a seasonal, and I'm like, you know what? This might not be here next week. Let me get some, and I'll talk about it tonight.
There you go.
But yeah, it's one of those things where it's like, I would highly recommend having one, but once you have one, move on to something else, because it's just, you know, German chocolate cake, right?
Yeah.
German chocolate cake is amazing. Or, you know, like a
slice of it.
Yeah. Like amazing. a trace leches cake or something,
right.
Something super rich, super good. But yeah, you're not going to eat the whole cake. You're going to have the slice and you're good because it's so rich. That's how this is.
And is it lighter? It must be light.
Than a stout?
Like a refreshing summer in the heat. You could drink it in the heat.
No, what I would say is if you're blindfolded,
uh-huh,
it would come off as a stout.
Oh, really? Okay.
I don't think you would know the difference because, like, it's, you know, it might not be as heavy in the gut as a stout, but on the palate, you're not going to notice the difference, I don't think.
I see. So it's still hitting the back of your tongue kind of thing.
Yeah, it's like drinking
coffee.
It's drinking a coffee beer.
Okay, okay.
You know, and whether it's light or dark, I mean, you still have that heavy coffee flavor.
Awesome. I definitely have to get one.
The beer is amazing. That's why I said it's just so rich, you know? Yeah. It's like if you had German chocolate cake, but with like white, I don't want to say dough, but what's it called? Like the cake, you know, the batter, I guess.
Oh, yeah. Like cookie dough batter or something.
Yeah. If the batter is light in color versus dark in color, but you still have all the same flavors.
I see. I see.
Like the color doesn't make a difference, you know? Yeah.
Awesome.
All right, Ted.
Cool.
And yeah, I just wanted to laugh though, cutting together the last two episodes when we were together.
Uh-huh. Yes.
And you found it so awkward to say goodbye to me.
Yes, because I was like, I'm saying goodbye and you're in the room. Like, it's weird.
Yeah, I mean, I guess we say goodbye to each other, but I always feel like we're saying goodbye to the audience.
Okay.
And you're like, I'm like, all right, Ted, we'll catch you later. All right. Yeah, later. Bye. Bye. Yeah, we do our thing. And it's like, and you're like, after we like turn off the recording, you're telling me like, that was weird. And I'm like, was it? Like, I don't know. It didn't seem weird. But I, after editing it though, I caught what you were saying and I'm like, okay, I guess if it's just me only and we get done talking, well, you know, one of the big things is if we're just sitting at the kitchen table having a drink and we're talking over dinner and then like, I don't know, I'm going to go home and you're, and it's okay. Bye. Bye. You know, we have this weird goodbye. I get it. That's kind of awkward.
Right.
But it's a podcast. Say goodbye to our listeners.
I know. I'm sorry. It's a conversation that is also a podcast.
I'm glad you're so comfortable. Let's put it that way.
Awesome.
All right. So now that we're back across the world, we'll say goodbye to each other the old-fashioned way.
And goodbye to our fans and listeners as well.
That's right.
All right. Bye.
All right, man. All right. You have a good night.
See ya. Bye.
Next week, join Jim and Ted as they disarm another Hollywood bomb or marketing masterpiece. Remember, the holy trinity of podcasting. Subscribe, like, share.
Special thanks to Jeremy Kent Jackson for the voiceover and Rahelio for the music.